Understandest thou what thou readest? Chapter 102. The city of Gaza was one of five cities which belonged to the Philistines. The Philistines lived in southwest Canaan, in the low-lying plain of the Mediterranean Sea. At one time, Gaza was a large, thickly populated city. Do you remember that in the Old Testament days, Samson, the strong judge, had carried the gates of Gaza up a high mountain? Samson also caused the temple of Dagon to cave in, thereby killing many distinguished Philistines. This temple was in this same city of Gaza. During Jesus' time upon the earth, the city of Gaza was a heap of ruins. Powerful enemies had burned this beautiful city. This destruction took place more than 100 years before Jesus lived upon earth, and Gaza never had been rebuilt. Because Jerusalem was situated upon a mountain and Gaza lay in a plain, the way from Jerusalem to Gaza was downhill. In former times, this road was traveled by many. But since Gaza's destruction, this road was not traveled too often. It was deserted and barren. I told you this to help you understand the following. One day, a man travels this barren and solitary road, walking quietly toward Gaza's heap of ruins. What does this man want there? Is he on the way to the ruins of this once so prosperous city? Why, no, he can't do anything there. Where is he going? He has no answer to that question. He walks there without knowing where he must go or why he must go. This is very strange, isn't it? Who is this man? Boys and girls, this solitary pedestrian on the deserted road to Gaza is Philip, one of the seven deacons from Jerusalem. But was not Philip preaching in the city of Samaria? Yes, he was. In the preceding chapter, we told you how Philip brought God's word to the Samaritans and how the Lord abundantly blessed this preaching. And now he is walking all alone on this lonesome road. Why? He is obeying an angel's command to leave Samaria and go on the deserted road from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the only thing the heavenly messenger had said, and Philip cannot understand it. What was the reason for this command? In Samaria, he labored in a flourishing congregation where everyone thought so much of him. He enjoyed his work there. And now, suddenly, he must leave Samaria and go on a solitary road where no one is. What he had to do there was not revealed to him. However, Philip does not object. Unconditionally, he obeys the command of the Lord. He does not reason, but obeys. As he travels this deserted road, where no one is to be seen, undoubtedly, this prayer arose in his heart, Lord, why didst thou send me here? A large and mighty kingdom lies very far to the south of Egypt in warm Africa. This kingdom is not inhabited by white people, but by black people. These black people are called Ethiopians. A queen reigns over these Ethiopians. The word Pharaoh was the title of every Egyptian king. In Ethiopia, every queen had the title of Candace. This queen was rich and mighty, and she had many courtiers and servants. One of these courtiers, also an Ethiopian, was appointed by Candace to manage her money and treasures. We would say he was the secretary of the treasury. One day, this important courtier went on a journey. It is natural he did not go alone. In those times, such powerful rulers never traveled alone because traveling was far too dangerous. Besides, the roads were poor and enemies lurked everywhere. Therefore, this Ethiopian also had several servants with him to guide his chariot and at the same time to defend him against possible marauders. Where is he going? He was traveling to Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish nation. What did he want there? While I tell you, be very attentive. In those days, many Jews lived in this land of Ethiopia. These Jews often spoke about their country, their God, and their wonderful history. This distinguished Ethiopian also hears about the wonderful history of the Jewish nation. He hears about the mighty God whom the Jewish people worship. He hears how God had brought his people out of Egypt, how the Egyptians had been plagued and finally drowned in the Red Sea. He hears how God had provided heavenly bread for the people while in the wilderness, and how God had brought them into the land of Canaan. In short, he hears of all the wonders Israel's God had performed for them. Esteem and respect grew in his heart for this mighty God. He feels the great difference between the idols which are worshipped in Ethiopia and the mighty God of the Jewish people. A desire arises in his heart to worship this God of Israel. So he goes on a journey to the far distant Jerusalem, probably during one of the great feasts, to worship this God in his temple. It is a long, dangerous trip, but all these dangers do not frighten him. On the contrary, he longs to increase his knowledge of this God. He arrived safely in Jerusalem. We do not know how long he was there or what he did. Undoubtedly, while in Jerusalem, he also heard the stories about Jesus of Nazareth. Wasn't all Jerusalem filled with this name? Didn't everyone talk about him? He saw the services of the temple, and he, as far as was permissible, took part in the same. Finally, he decided to return to his own native country, to his queen. His labors await him. One thing I must tell you, which is certain, he found no peace for his soul. Disappointed, he leaves Jerusalem to begin the long journey to Ethiopia. Deep in his heart, a desire burns to know Israel's God as his God. After he had passed through the gate of Jerusalem, he commands his servants to ride upon the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This road is lonesome and deserted. There, undisturbed, he can read the prophecies of the prophet Isaiah. The chariot slowly rides onward, undoubtedly guided by a slave. In the meantime, he takes the roll of Isaiah, which he has with him, and begins to read. In those days, most everyone read aloud. This Ethiopian also reads aloud. He has the 53rd chapter of Isaiah open before him. He reads of someone who is despised and rejected of men. He reads, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him." A little further he reads, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray." Oh, many questions arise in the heart of this Ethiopian. About whom does this prophet write? He doesn't understand it. What does Isaiah mean by these words? He has no answer to these questions. Suddenly, this Ethiopian frightens out of his meditations. He hears the voice of a stranger. In astonishment, he looks from his roll and notices a man walking at the side of his chariot. This stranger asks him, "Understandest thou what thou readest? Who is this lonely man walking on the road?" As we told you at the beginning of this chapter, Philip was sent by an angel to the deserted road from Jerusalem to Gaza. We saw how he walked alone on this road. Suddenly he sees in the distance a company of travelers coming. Who are they? Philip does not know. However, when these people come nearer, he sees they are a company of Ethiopians. Probably he steps aside to let these strangers pass by. But the Holy Ghost informs him in his heart, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Philip obeys immediately. As soon as he begins to walk alongside this slow-riding chariot, he hears this distinguished Ethiopian reading. And this is what he hears. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." When Philip hears this, he asks with interest, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He means by this, "Do you understand everything you are reading?" The Ethiopian answers honestly, "No, I do not understand it. Neither do I have anyone who can interpret or explain it to me." Undoubtedly, he noticed that Philip would like to speak about it. Therefore, he asks this traveler, who is stranger to him, "Will you come up and sit with me in my chariot?" Philip is willing. Upon the command of the Ethiopian, the chariot is stopped for a moment. Philip quickly climbs into the chariot and sits next to this black man. The chariot again is set into motion. Soon these two men are engaged in a serious conversation. The Ethiopian asks, "Of whom does the prophet Isaiah speak? Does he speak of himself? Or does he mean another?" Philip explains to the Ethiopian what this prophecy means. He speaks to him about the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who came upon the earth to save sinners. The Lord Jesus has been led to the slaughter as a sheep. The Lord Jesus did not open his mouth before the Sanhedrin. The Lord Jesus humbled himself unto death. The Lord Jesus sacrificed his life upon the accursed cross. The eyes of Philip sparkle as he talks about the Savior. He doesn't speak coldly and without feeling, but he speaks with warmth. It isn't a lesson learned from memory. He speaks from experience, for God had revealed this Savior to his soul. The Ethiopian listens attentively. While he was in Jerusalem, he had heard a great deal about this Jesus of Nazareth. But alas, doubtless this Jesus was represented to him as a deceiver and seducer. He didn't hear much good about him. Surely in Jerusalem they didn't enlighten him about Jesus in a favorable way. Probably they even spoke about him mockingly and scornfully. And now, Philip clearly and understandably explains who this Jesus really is and why all this had happened. By the Spirit of God, Philip's words are blessed to the heart of this Ethiopian. All his questions are solved and answered. A heavenly calm enters in the heart of this black Ethiopian. It is self-evident that Philip told him the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead, had ascended into heaven, and now is sitting at the right hand of his Father, and will some day return upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. This despised Jesus is the King of Kings. A moment of deep silence prevails after Philip stops speaking. A heavenly joy fills the wet eyes of this Ethiopian. By faith he sees this Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Yes, and more, by faith he may embrace Jesus as his Savior. A peace which cannot be described fills the soul of this distinguished Ethiopian. As they ride along, the black Ethiopian notices some water. "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" he asks. Philip answers, "If thou believest with all thine heart, there is no objection. It is lawful." What will the Ethiopian answer? Listen to it. From the depth of his soul, he seriously says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." This answer is his confession of faith, for he does not say this carelessly, but wholeheartedly. They both descend into the water, and Philip solemnly baptizes the black Ethiopian. Afterward, these two men climb out of the water, and when the Ethiopian looks up, Philip is nowhere to be seen. The Spirit of the Lord took him away. The courtier of Candace sees him no more. Does the Ethiopian travel further dejectedly and sorrowfully? Oh, no. But read what is recorded in the Bible. He went on his way rejoicing. When this courtier learned to know the Lord Jesus as his surety and Savior, he had no further need of Philip. The Ethiopian had all. He had found God. Do not believe that he was silent when he arrived in his native country. Later, flourishing churches were found there. Probably this Ethiopian labored and preached among the black Ethiopians with great blessing, but we cannot say it with certainty. But what became of Philip? The Spirit of the Lord took him away. To heaven? Oh no. He was found at Azotus, that is to say, in the vicinity of Ashdod. Philip also was gladdened. Now he understood why he was sent to this barren, solitary road. All was plain to him. God was pleased to use Philip to proclaim to this Ethiopian the way of salvation. Philip journeyed to Caesarea. On the way, he preached in every city and village. Wasn't this a nice story? Do you remember that the Lord Jesus said at one time, "Many that are first shall be last, and many last shall be first"? This has happened here by the Lord rejecting thousands of Jews and converting this black Ethiopian. This black Ethiopian from the faraway land of Ethiopia shall sing to all eternity of God's mercy bestowed upon him. And will you go lost forever? Oh, how dreadful it will be for you who know so well the way of salvation. This Ethiopian hungered after Israel's God. And you? Because this Ethiopian hungered after God, he made the long, dangerous journey to Jerusalem. What are you willing to do for the service of the Lord? For what does your heart long? What is the great purpose of your life? Ask yourself these questions and answer them between God and your own soul. The poet of the psalm says, "Behold Philistia and Tyre, with Ethiopia. This man was born there. This means they are converted by God. O children, bend your knees before God and ask Him if you also may receive a place in that heavenly kingdom. Ask if the Spirit of the Lord also may make room in your heart for the Savior.